Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having an absolutely blessed day today. It's raining again down here in Florida, which is not actually that bad because it's finally cooled it down. Yesterday, I think it was saying it was 96 and felt like 107 outside, something around those lines. So it was a pretty warm day. But one thing I did want to just open up with, I thought this was interesting, and this always, again, proves my point on why I tell everybody you need to have the ability to be armed and defend yourself at any point in time. Out of Philadelphia, a Metro PCS store was robbed last week, and the surveillance video has now been released of the would-be robber who came in and basically threw a bag on the counter and pulled out a handgun and pointed it at the clerk, the owner behind the desk. And apparently the owner of the store was armed and shot the man 10 times, emptied the magazine into the perpetrator, killed him on the spot. Police showed up and said that the owner was basically legally concealed carrying. Then around 4:10, a man wearing a hoodie is seen in surveillance video entering the store with a handgun. He tosses what the store owner said is a bag towards the employee, telling him to fill it up with phones and money. And the owner decided to draw his firearm and not give the man what he wanted. The suspect died, and the individuals, they basically said that the store owner is not getting charged with anything whatsoever. And they also said the store had been robbed at least two other times this year already. So this was obviously a soft target that most individuals already thought they could go back to and rob again. Little did they know they were going to get lit up like a Christmas tree by the store owner with his concealed carry handgun. Again, the reason why I tell everybody you need to be prepared for anything at any time with the means to defend yourself. And on that note, how are you doing today, Deb?
I'm blessed beyond measure, shaking together, running over. My cup cannot contain it. God's good. It's 70 degrees here, clear blue skies, a few powdery clouds that actually are real clouds and not chemtrail clouds. A great day up here in North Carolina. And I saw the same video of the man who basically was shot at the Metro PC store. And it was interesting to me because I like this owner. This owner was sharp. If you watch the video, the guy walks in with a hoodie. They always love to wear their hoodies because that way you can't identify them. And he walks in with a hoodie, throws a bag on the countertop. And by the time the guy had the bag on the countertop, he walked away. He was trying to be cool with the owner, like, he'll fill the bag up with phones. Before he could turn back around, the owner had already pulled his gun and already had a drop on the doggone would-be assailant. The would-be assailant was so nonchalant about it, he kind of just thought he'd walk in there and do whatever he wanted to do because he was carrying a pistol. And by the time the guy turned around, the guy unloaded on him, dumped a whole 10-round magazine into him, and which is okay. I hate to see anybody die, but gosh, when you get these career criminals like this that are so blatant and so conceited, yep. And this may have been the same guy that already robbed the place twice. And, yep. You know, so the guy already recognizing him and just whatever it was, but I'm really glad that they decided not to charge the store owner. And now they'll say that this was a racist motivated shooting, and it basically they're going to have Al Sharpton come up and say the guy has to be put in jail. I mean, it's ridiculous what's probably going to happen with all of this. And they'll be rioting in the streets over all of this because a person comes in and basically robs another man or tries to. The man defends himself, and the guy has already pulled a gun on the guy. And now they're going to say the guy's a racist because he shot this guy. And it's ridiculous to me. But, you know, there's some other things I want to talk about this morning. And I had somebody send me an email, and it grieved me this morning. I mean, so you guys get ready. I'm going to put some sparks out this morning. We're going to have a few fireworks today. And this is going to be one of those shows for the first next 10 minutes that you guys may – this is going to be one of those shows. But let's talk about it. He sent me an article, and it says, transgender model Teddy Quivlin is the new face of Chanel Beauty. Now, of course, this is a guy dressed up like a girl. And now we find out that Victoria's Secret has just hired its first transgender model.
Oh,
now,
gosh.
Okay, I'm going to get pretty ticked off here for a second, so you guys have to bear with me on this because I'm an alpha male, and I don't like this. Here's the problem I have with all of this stuff. You know, like this girl entering the Miss Universe contest who basically was also a transgender. Here's the issue. If you're not told as a guy that this is a guy and you see this girl, you think, okay, she's pretty, right? the problem is this, is that when you see these women who are guys that are provocatively dressed and you have no idea they're a guy, it triggers a male's nucleus accumbens, which means the man is set up to be attracted to this thing, whatever this thing is physically. And guys, you stay with me on this for a second, because this really ticks me off. This is part of the inversion that they're doing. Victoria's Secret has done. I told my wife this morning, she used to shop at Victoria's Secret. Now, you heard the term used to. She used to shop at Victoria's Secret all the time. That's done. You know, Gillette now is hemorrhaging cash. Now it's over $10 billion in lost revenue for their little stupid little ad they put out. And now, so the Gillette's in trouble. Okay? And, you know, and so this is what we have to do. You know, and I told my wife this morning, I said, if Victoria's Secret comes out with a transgender model, if they really release this and release these photos, you're done. You're not shopping at Victoria's Secret anymore. Don't care. Hope they all go out of business. You have to be willing to do that, guys. Now, this is an inversion. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, I did a show that you guys have to go back and listen to. And I talked about the inversion of what this group of people, they go all the way back to Egypt, all the way back to ISIS, all the way back to the ancient Canaanite religions. This thread that has been woven through this group, the entire history of mankind that we can go back all the way to Genesis chapter 6. This same group is the one who's pushing this because they want the inversion of God's order. Now, it makes it angry. It makes me angry because here's the thing. And I was talking to Austin this morning. I was talking to your mom about Hunter and Kindle. You know, all of my kids now are 16, 18, 20, 31. You know, I'm pretty much done with raising kids. But the reality is that when you have these young children who are put into classrooms with transgender teachers, transgender children, it creates an inversion in their mind. And up to the age of 7, 8, again, they're in a theta brainwave state. They don't understand how to differentiate between this weirdness and normal. They think it's okay because the teacher's telling them it's okay. The teacher's speaking to them from a voice of authority. They're in a dreamlike state. So they just believe it. So this is what society has done. Now, I'm going to go back, and we're going to go back now. We're going to go back to Scripture this morning because I'm going to tie this stuff together with Scripture with you guys. And this is going to be extremely offensive to some people, and I don't give a rat's butt, excuse my language. Don't care anymore, because I've had enough. When I think some guy's hot because I don't know it's a guy, it just ticks me off, all right? And guys, I hope you feel the same way. One of the leading talk show hosts in alternative media, I'm not going to mention any names, got busted a few weeks ago for having transgender porn on his iPhone. He was showing his iPhone and showing this link and all this other kind of stuff he had on it, and there was a link there to a transgender porn website. I'm not joking. And see, here's the problem. And I'm trying to be so careful not to run my mouth and start telling you guys names. Here's the problem. A lot of you already know who I'm talking about. That's why I never quote this person on the show. Here's the problem. When you hang out with pigs, you're going to get dirt on you. When you start hanging out with people who like the wife swap, whoa, here I go. When you hang out with people who like the wife swap and they're all involved in all their sexual, their six sexual perversions, it creates a problem. And then when the six sexual perversion guy gets busted by the state and gets raided at 3 o'clock in the morning and he basically is charged for crimes basically that the state should be leaving him alone for, we feel sorry for the six perverted. And we had a whole show on this that I deleted off the archives. You guys listen to it. You've got to be careful who you hang out with. You can't be hanging out with guys who think that transgenders are hot. Are you listening to me, man? Now, I'm talking about you and your non-Christian friends, because we all have non-Christian friends. If they start talking sick stuff about that stuff, you got to walk away. You got to say, look, that's perverted to me. There's a line in the sand that I've crossed that I'm not going to go across. I don't even want to think that way or go that way or lean that way or even have the air brush me from that way. We're done with all that. Okay, so we're going to talk about this for a second. Now, we're going to talk about that group that did all of this stuff. And we're going to go back to the New Testament, and we're going to go to Acts. And we're going to go back to Stephen's speech to the Sanhedrin. Now, a lot of you guys who are Christians, you're going, he's really going to read this? This is Scripture. These are Scriptures. And we're either Christians or we're not. That's not in the book of Acts, chapter 7. Then the high priest asked Stephen, are these charges true? To this he replied, brothers and fathers, listen to me. The glory of God appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. leave your country and your people, God said, and go into the land I will show you. And then it goes on to say, and it talks all about the Moses, and it talks about the 40 years and the angel, and all of the things that, you know, he's talking about. And he goes, but our ancestors refused to obey him. They're talking about God. Instead, this is verse 39. This is Acts 30, chapter 7, verse 39. But our ancestors refused to obey him. Instead, they rejected him, and in their hearts, they turned back to Egypt. This is where they got taught all about the foreign gods and Isis and all of the stuff for the Canaanite religions and the human sacrifice and the orgies and all the sick stuff. Remember, these same group of people, when they got out of Egypt and they crossed the Red Sea and Moses went up on the mountain, he came down, they were having a giant orgy with human sacrifice going on. This is what was going on. But our ancestors refused to obey him. Instead, they rejected him and in their hearts turned back to Egypt. Verse 40, they told Aaron, make us gods who will go before us. For as for this fellow Moses who led us out of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him. That was the time they made an idol in the form of a calf. They brought sacrifices to it and reveled in what their own hands had made. But God turned away from them and gave them over to the worship of the sun, the moon, and the stars. This agrees with what is written in the book of the prophets. Did you bring me sacrifices and offerings 40 years in the wilderness, people of Israel? You have taken up the tabernacle of Moloch. Now listen to me, friends. And the star of your god, Rephaim. I'm going to talk about that in a second. The idols you made to worship. Therefore, I will send you into exile into Babylon. Now this is God talking to them. In verse 44, our ancestors had the tabernacle of the covenant law, and with them in the wilderness, it has been made as a direct guise. God directed Moses according to the pattern he had seen. After receiving the tabernacle, our ancestors under Joshua brought it with them when they took the land from the nations. But here comes Solomon. But for Solomon, it was a house for him. However, the Most High does not live in a house made by human hands, as the prophet says. Then God says in 51, now listen to this, 751 Acts. This is because he's talking to these Egyptians, to these satanic worshipers. He's talking to them right now, the leadership. You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. These guys are about to kill Jesus. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one, being John the Baptist, and now you have betrayed and murdered him. You have received the law that was given through the angels, but yet you have not obeyed it. Now they're so ticked off now. 54, when the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious. They gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing in the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears because it was blasphemy to them, yelling at the top of their voices. They all rushed him, and they stoned him to death. Now, guys, it's so important to understand what he's talking about in these different passages. Let's take a look at this star of Rephaim that was mentioned in the Bible. Now, this is important. The star that was mentioned and condemned by God of Israel in Amos 5:26, and also with Stephen, and it was called by him the star of your god, Moloch. That's the star of Moloch, guys, with the human sacrifice, or otherwise Chiun, reference Amos 5:26, and the Israelites having it in the wilderness were also made in Acts 7:43 with Stephen. Here was called the star of Rephaim, R-E-M-P-H-A-N. All these names refer to the god Saturn. The hexagram was bought to the Jewish people by Solomon when he turned to witchcraft and idolatry after his marriage to the Pharaoh's daughter in 922 BC. It became known as the Seal of Solomon in Egyptian magic and witchcraft. David had absolutely nothing to do with the hexagram, and the star most certainly did not in any way represent God's people. Solomon gave himself up to satanic worship and built all altars to Asherah and to Moloch. Human sacrifice, guys. This is Solomon. There was also a school of thought this way. The martyrdom of Stephen episode of Books of Acts seemed to indicate the star of Rephaim in the symbol of Babylonian Kabbalistic teachings, the six-sided star of Solomon. Guys, you've got to do the research on this. You've got to take a look at who these satanic leaders are. This is the same group that worked its way all the way through to Sabbatane Zevi in 1666 through the dark, through basically the Middle Ages. This is the same group. This is the same group that brought in Jacob Frank. This is the same group that brought in the House of Rothschild. It's the same stinking group that's taking men, dressing them like women, and pretending like they're women, and sticking them in front of men to confuse everything, to create inversion. And this had me so hacked off this morning. I told Sharon, I said, I want to say a few bad words on the show. I'm going to try not to. I said, I've had enough of this. Who are these people that they can pervert God's creation like this? Now, this is a new face of Chanel, the new face of Victoria's Secret. What the heck? Who are these people? This isn't okay. We got to do like it did with Gillette. And guys, that's why I didn't go see The Lion King. Disney was boycotting Georgia because of the heartbeat law. And then Lion King came out. I wouldn't watch it. I don't care if it's a good movie. Don't care. Don't care. Will not give them my money. I will not do it. And you say, well, gosh, Ted, that's pretty hardcore. Yeah, it is hardcore. If we continue to support the ways of the ungodly and give them the money to continue their enslavement with us, who is to blame but us? Who is to blame? And guys, we've got to stop that. Guys, Victoria comes out with a transgender model. My wife, and don't get me wrong, I like Victoria's stuff on my wife. It looks pretty neat. Victoria's Secret. But I tell you what, it ain't going to happen anymore. Not in my lifetime. Just like I told you guys, I don't go to Target anymore. I had enough of Target. Them and their little transgender bathroom deals, I had enough of all of that. Had enough of Target. And quite frankly, I'd like Target way over Walmart if you had to buy something. They had a lot nicer stuff, but I don't do that anymore. Gillette is the perfect example of what we have to do, guys. If we don't do this, if we don't stand against this tyranny, this onslaught of inversion, this satanic worship, this Moloch, Asherah, Baal worship coming out of Canaanite religions through Egypt, if we don't stand against it, why do we call ourselves Christians? Here's the article. Get woke, go broke. Gillette backflips after a $12 billion toxic masculinity disaster, and it hopes to lure its sexist pigs, that'd be us, back with a new ad campaign. In January, Procter & Gamble decided to run Gillette razor ads trashing men as violent stalkers and abusers in a disgusting ad campaign. The company felt the best way to promote their product was to attack their own consumer base. The toxic masculinity ad highlighted sexist and the bullying white males. Here we go, white boys again in the United States. Of the 43 abusive males in the ad, 42 were white. 7 of the 8 hero men in the ad were black. You hear what I said? 43 abusive males in the ad, 42 are white, and 7 of the 8 hero men in the ad were black. The ad didn't go so well, did it? Many users promised to avoid the product, including Moi Ted here, and I like the razors. I won't use them anymore. The company followed up that ad with a father teaching his trans son how to shave for the first time. All that wokeness didn't pay off for Gillette, did it? Or P&G. Gillette lost $8 billion in the second quarter. I hope they lose $20 billion in the third. After this shocking, disgusting campaign, Gillette is hoping to regain its market share with a more positive message. They decided to label their customers as sexist pigs. May not have been the best strategies. Guys, you know, it's kind of like, hey guys, you know, come back. You know, the whole thing about we call you sexist pigs and your son's rapist in training. We're just kidding. Please buy our razors again. Oh, unbelievable, guys. This is what we have to do. When these Sabbatean Kabbalist, Luciferian, low-life group of companies that are all run by the international banking cartels, which are perverted to the core, tell us that we've got to teach our little boys how to be trans and accept guys as girls and girls as guys. My answer is no. In fact, my answer is H-E double sticks, though. How about that? How about H-E double sticks, though? I'm not putting up with it. I'm not putting up on this show. You say, man, this show is politically incorrect. Yeah, that's why we've got millions of listeners now, because we're politically incorrect, because you guys don't want to hear it either. We've all had enough of it. But we've got to back this up with our pocketbooks, and we've got to say no more. What do you think, Austin?
Unbelievably well said. I couldn't have said it any better with that, and I've been saying this for years now, the same thing that came about when Beauty and the Beast was released with Disney, and I never went and saw it. Didn't take the kids to see the new Lion King either. Don't use Gillette razors. Don't go to Target. The thing about this is, and this is what Dad's so right about, a lot of times, and people in the conservative realm, in our realm, they always want to talk about how companies do this and companies do that, but then they don't want to back up what they're talking. I've seen this a lot. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm saying this is just very common. And in many cases, people talk about how anybody can stop supporting them and anybody should stop supporting them, but nobody ends up doing what they say they're going to do, and everybody then just complains about stuff that could be done by all of us, but isn't done by hardly any of us, if that makes any sense. Everybody wants to walk around and say, well, we shouldn't support them anymore. But, you know, but I got to go to Target once a week because, you know, they got these diapers that I buy that are on sale. And, you know, they have this really good sale on these, you know, food they have or whatever else they have at Target. So, you know, I kind of have to go to Target, you know, but somebody else, you guys should not go to Target anymore. And it's the same thing all the way down the line. You see that with movies. You know, oh, yeah, you guys shouldn't support Beauty and the Beast and its bestiality mantra behind it and its homosexual agenda and multiple sexual references in the film. But you got to say, my kids want to see it, though, and I don't want to tell them no. I had already told them we would probably go see it. So we're going to go see it. But honestly, you guys should really make a stand on this. I really, really commend you for doing that. It's a joke. And we can't do that anymore, guys. We don't have that option anymore. Because the only way to get these bankers and these globalists' attention is with their pocketbooks. And Dad said that very succinctly. Gillette now is hemorrhaging cash. They don't know what to do. They've gone and urinated on their entire base market, which is the stupidest thing you could do for a razor company. I mean, it made no sense to me when they did that. The same thing now, we're looking at all these other different things that are going on. If Victoria's Secret decides to do this, my wife likes that company too. I'll tell her no more. We're not going to do it anymore. They actually come out with this, because this is exactly what the agenda is trying to promote. They want to make things so confusing, so bizarre, so absolutely insane to the point where you're going to go and see a Victoria's Secret commercial on television. You're going to be flipping through, if you actually watch TV anymore. I don't even have TV anymore. I'm just using that as an analogy. You're going to be flipping through. You're going to see a Victoria's Secret commercial, and you're going to go, man, wow, that girl's really pretty. And then at the end of it, they're going to say, and we just wanted to let you know, we hoped you enjoyed our transgender model. And you're going to go, oh, my gosh, are you kidding me right now? Did I really just look at that? Did I really just think that was okay? Did I really just find
that's right. That's
that
right.
Pretty? And you realize, and this is what they're trying to do. This is why they're doing it with the younger generation. That's why I told you guys, I went into detail yesterday. If you haven't listened to yesterday's show, you have to listen to it on what they are planning on doing with the chips, with the Neuralink chips with the kids. This aspect of what we're talking about today is what they are doing with the sexual perversion and the transgenderism with the children. They want to make them think this is all okay. This is why they're doing the public library reads with these sicko perverted cross-dressers. This is why they're introducing academia topics all the way to kindergarten and up to discuss how transgenderism is okay and how you need to refer to people pronouns on they request it and how you need to basically support people that are going through this. Here's the thing. Like I said this numerous times. If you are an 18-year-old person or older and you decide you want to get your appendages chopped off or vice versa and you want to pay for a sex change out of your pocket, out of the money you make and work every single day, I really don't care. That's not my problem. That's your problem, not my problem. And it's not my place to tell you you can't do that. If you want to do self-mutilation on your body, I'm very libertarian. You're welcome to do it. I really don't care. However, do not stand up after you do so and expect me to support it, fund it, like it, embrace it, kiss it, hold it, hug it, and pretend it's okay with me. Because it's not. That's the problem that I have with this now. It's gone from the aspect of, oh, well, we're doing this now, you need to be
exactly
okay with
right.
it, to we're doing this now, you need to fund it, to we're doing this now, you need to love it, to we're doing this now, you need to hold it and kiss it and love it and embrace it. embrace it and promote it and hold it as your own. That is the problem with this ideology and this behavior, is in most cases it continues to grow like a cancerous tumor, and that's exactly what it's done here in the United States. This isn't new, as Ted just talked about. That Moses is on top of the mountain talking to God Almighty. I mean, not very many people have gotten to do that. He's up there talking to God Almighty, and they go, man, Moses must have left us. We got to do something out here. Hey, let's make some gold calves and worship and have a giant perverted orgy down here, because, you know, we don't have anything else to do. It's just, that seems like it would be something very productive, since we do that all the time in Egypt. Let's go ahead and do that now. And that's what we've seen. So this behavior, this concept, this perversion isn't new. It's just continually getting recycled. And the problem is, when they become militant and they force us to accept it and they tell us we have to like it and embrace it and fund it and hug it and promote it, that is the issue. And this is how it has always happened in every single society. It slips in very, very subtly. We saw this in the 90s. Very few incidences with homosexual incidences occurred in movies and TV shows in the 90s, unless they were some weird show that they were doing on the back burner that nobody knew about. It was very, very subtle. And you had shows like Seinfeld and Friends come out, and they had very, very minor instances in most cases of homosexual behavior in those shows. But they had them, nonetheless. And then they slowly rolled it into the 2000s, where they started putting it in the music videos, and they had Britney Spears, and they had all these other individuals in the movies and the TVs and the music videos that were engaging in very, in most cases, mild homosexual behavior in this, and promoted it. And then it slowly escalated, and then, oh, well, guess what? Now you have to support it. You have to support this homosexual agenda. And then it slowly perverted down the line. You see where it is now. I don't need to go any further. And that's what they always do. They take an inch, then they take a foot, then they take a yard, then they take a mile. Then they take an entire state, like they've done now, where in some states they want to promote this, in entire cities. I mean, we have Orlando now that is one of the gay capitals of the United States now. It's disgusting. It's absolutely ridiculous. That's what they do over there. And that's why you can't even, there's areas now in certain businesses, you can really not even work in some of these companies if you are a heterosexual male. Period. You either have to be a woman or you have to be homosexual. I've talked to numerous people about this, and I'm not going to say the company's names because I don't want to deal with any backlash on that right now, because I've already had some issues that I've talked to some people about as far as what they're trying to do with libel and defamation and all this other stuff, and that's what they're trying to do. Even if you speak the truth, they're trying to make sure that people can't talk about it, be it hate speech. This is what they're slowly starting to do now, and this is what we have to be aware of, and this is why we cannot support these companies with our funds. Also, too, in other news, this ties right back into the perversion that they're trying to push now. Newsweek, the very popular magazine Newsweek, has now produced an article entitled, "Time to Rethink the Taboo on Cannibalism?" Kid you not. This is Newsweek. The Newsweek. And they put out an outlandish piece pushing the notion that it might be time for humans to rethink the taboo of cannibalism and the next step towards progressiveness. I kid you not. The paper published by psychologists Jer Piaz and Neil McClatchy from University of Lancaster in the United Kingdom make the proposition that cannibalism might not be that bad after all, because some cultures in the world think it's okay still. And they go on to say some people feel that it's repulsive or it's disgusting, but really there's no need to feel like it about this, that we should really just look at eating human meat as another form of eating an animal. I kid you not, they go on and they even cite the story of the 1972 Andes plane crash where survivors almost starved to death before eating those who had already died. And then towards the end of the article, they go on to say now, and seeing how philosophers have argued that burying the dead could be wasteful in the context of the fight against world hunger, we are still, though, happy to continue accepting the fact that some people might find this as a taboo. They're trying to put cannibalism back on the plate of the American population by insinuating that we may need to start eating each other to prevent world hunger. This is how perverted the mainstream propaganda outlet has gotten now. Not the fact that it's disgusting, not the fact that it's absolutely repulsive, not the fact that it's unclean and we shouldn't be eating each other, and it's very specific aspects of that on the Bible, and why they were so into this stuff with Moloch and Asherah and all the sacrificing stuff they did. This all goes back to that ancient Canaanite cannibalism they were all about. Goes back to the Genesis chapter 6 with the Nephilim, where they're running around eating people. This is what it all ties back into, and this is why they want to bring in every thought of every man is evil all the time. You have to start thinking about this. If you start having people that this is a very, very open topic, and there's restaurants and there's people now that are openly accepting of serving human body parts, what's to stop people from starting to find other people delicious that aren't even dead yet? Start having some Hannibal Lecter, Silence of the Lambs, weird, sick stuff going on. And you're promoting it, and you're legalizing it, and you're saying it's okay. The same way now that we've taken the aspect of transgenderism, and people can be a pixie or whatever gender they want to be, or whatever made-up gender they want to be, to rolling in the P, pedophilia aspect of the acronym now and there. To saying, well, if you're 40 years old, but you identify as a 12-year-old girl, you can't be held responsible for pedophilia. You can't be held responsible for your actions because you identify as a 12-year-old. They've already started to introduce that, and in multiple court cases that has already come about now as an argument in pedophilia cases. You can look them up. So we see all these different things going into place, and now we're going to throw cannibalism from a Newsweek article into the mix now. So not only is it cool to be a transgender individual that doesn't know who you are, that also engages in pedophilia, now you need to start engaging in cannibalism as well. This is what the hardcore leftists want to promote, and this is why they want to control the media and the propaganda machine that they are pushing so hard, so they can control the aspects of every single person's thought, tying them into Neuralink, which you can listen back to the show yesterday and understand a little bit more now why I brought that entire topic up yesterday, Dad.
You know, Austin, I'm taking notes with what you're saying because it's so good. And the thing about it is that, guys, you know, if you don't get a little bit of righteous anger going on with the stuff here that we're talking about today, then we're going to have to check your pulse. Make sure you're okay. All right, maybe your blood pressure's too low. I have no idea. But this is a major, and we as Christians, you know, we have drawn the line in the sand, and then we erase it, we draw it again, and we erase it, and we draw it again, and we erase it, and we draw it again, and we erase it, and now we find ourselves here. You know, there's a line in the sand that has been drawn now by these perverts that run the planet, these satanic, Luciferian, Canaanite religion, Baal, Moloch, Asherah worshippers who like to eat people and sacrifice people. This is the group that runs the planet and has done so since Genesis chapter 6 with the ancient Canaanite religions, all the way back to Genesis 1:1 when we started dealing with Lucifer running around in the garden doing his little weird stuff. Guys, this is what's important done right now. But we got to talk about Kim Kardashian's rear end. Okay, we got to talk about you know Cher, what Cher says. I mean, guys, who cares what Cher says? I mean, my gosh, talk about a has-been, washed up. Not going to go there. But the whole thing about it is that, you know, we don't need to let Hollywood tell us by their weirdos, you know, what we're supposed to believe and what we're supposed to do. But we have. We've allowed them to come in, and we've allowed them to program us. So the point now that social media stress can actually lead to social media addiction. Now, why does that happen? Why, when you start doing all these different things with Facebook and Instagram and everything else, you get addicted to it? Here's why. Dopamine. Okay, this is the biggest problem that guys don't realize when they start looking at porn on the internet. Let's say you had a rough day at work. You had a rough day with your wife. You had a rough day with whatever. And you start looking at stuff on the internet you should not look at. You get a dopamine trigger. Guys, you got to realize what's happening. You're being programmed like a Pavlovian dog. You got to say, you know what? Get thee behind me, Satan. You can't control it. Get one of those little filters on your computer, or have your wife check your search history, or have one of those people come in and basically track what you do and send it to your wife every month. Find a way to stop all that. You got to learn that this is a dopamine trigger. It's like eating sugar. It's like drinking, you know, diet pop. It's like all these different things that are happening are all part of the dopamine triggers that keep us, quote-unquote, feeling better as far as brain chemicals. but you can't allow yourself to go there. There's a certain things you got to say, we're not going to do it. And social media stress, now being linked to social media addiction. I mean, we'll have to, this is just crazy. I mean, oh, by the way, clinical trials now are also showing, this is a pretty good article, clinical trials, hang on, put this up, it rotated on me on this thing. Clinical trials are showing that alternative day fasting is a safe alternative to caloric restriction. Now, I don't recommend this, but it works, all right? Eat one day, don't eat the next day. Eat one day, don't eat the next day. Eat one day, don't eat the next day. Now, if you've got a real problem with your weight and you can't control it, that's not a bad thing to do. I don't recommend it, but that's not a bad thing. What happens, you have a continuous upregulation of ketone bodies, even on non-fasting days, and that's been shown to promote health in various contexts. You have a reduced levels of a marker that's been linked to age-associated diseases and inflammation. You also lowered levels of triiodothyronine without impaired thyroid gland function. Previously, lowered levels of this hormone have been linked to longevity in humans. And you've also lowered your levels of cholesterol. You've also reduction of lipotoxic and android trunk fat mass, commonly known as belly fat. So you're better off to eat six small meals a day, eat clean, and stay away from high glycemic carbohydrates. In other words, just kind of start eating chicken and vegetables, or chicken and fish and vegetables, or even, you know, occasional beef and vegetables. You're better off to do that. You're better off to take a look at your weight. Say, hey, I want to weigh 180 pounds. Multiply that by 10. That's 1,800 calories. Divide that by 6. 6,300 calorie snacks during the day. And you can pretty much eat that every day, and you'll lose your weight down about 180 pounds, and you won't mess up your metabolism. The only problem is when you start doing the fasting on a regular basis, you start messing up your metabolism a little bit. Then you start eating every egg, and you start ballooning back up again. So it's really important. Now, fasting, on the other hand, the Bible tells us in Isaiah, if you fast, your healing will quickly appear. Fasting has been one of the best things ever been shown to reduce the risks of different types of diseases. But I'm going to give you a caveat. Don't fast all the time for like weeks on end. I've got a friend of mine, and I warned him. He used to be a former workout partner, and he's also a pastor. And he'd be going on these one-week fasts like every week, every month, every whatever. I mean, the guy's like not eating. And now he looks like an emaciated skeleton walking around, and he has cancer. Now you think, well, what the heck? I mean, the Bible says if you fast, your healing will quickly appear. Yeah, but you got to remember, this has to be done with moderation, guys. When you don't eat right and you're eating GMO foods and you're not taking supplements and you're not getting a high nutrient density into your diet, your body is constantly living on its own stored mineral reserves when you fast on a regular basis. In other words, your magnesium, your calcium, your phosphorus, all of the stuff that you need in your body, all the essential minerals and vitamins get absorbed and used, and your body goes into a deficit. And then when cancer surfaces in your body, you don't have the necessary antioxidants to get rid of this. That's not what fasting is supposed to be used for. And I warned my friend over and over, and also knows who I'm talking about, and he knows that I've done this. I've warned my friend over and over and over again. He'd walk into the office looking like a doggone emaciated skeleton. And I saw him about a year and a half ago, and I knew something was really wrong with him. I said, bud, I said, you've got to stop this. And now he's been diagnosed with cancer. It's so important that you do things in moderation when it comes to things like that. Now, other things you can't do in moderation. Yesterday I talked to a man, 50 pounds overweight, had been an alcoholic, almost drank himself to death, quit drinking, got saved, but now he started smoking again. He's still 50 pounds overweight. He still has abnormal liver function. And the guy's a very successful business guy. And I told him, I said, look, dude, I said, here's the thing. I was sitting in the RV, and I said to him, I said, here's the thing, bud. I said, how bad does this have to get? How bad does your liver have to get? You know, how big does your liver need to swell? How much weight do you need to gain? I mean, do you have to have your first heart attack, your first liver transplant? Where do you have to draw the line before you change your diet? I said, there's a few supplements you need to take. Well, I'm not going to take any vitamins. And I'm like, okay. Yeah, whatever, bud. You know, here's the thing. You've got to go where people are going to listen. You know, you have to have ears to hear. Eyes to see is what the word says. And God said he'll turn and he'll heal you. But you've got to be willing. If you've got all kinds of health issues, ask yourself a simple question. How far does it have to go before I start making healthier choices? Do I really need to eat organic? I know that glyphosate causes cancer. I know that. I know it tears up the gut on the inside. It destroys the intestinal tract. I know that. But I'm still eating it because it'll be all right. No, it's not going to be all right, guys. This is what they want you to believe, that you can do all of this stuff in moderation and you're going to be okay with it. Guys, it simply doesn't work that way. There's certain things that you need to realize you need to avoid. Another thing, look at the prenatal pesticide problem we're having. Prenatal pesticide exposure now has been linked to changes in teens' brain activity. I'm talking about prenatal pesticide and affects the teens' brain activity. And yesterday we talked about how autism is becoming the new normal. Man, yesterday's show was amazing. Monday's show, Austin did one of the best rants I've ever heard anybody do ever on a show. So this whole week has been a really good week of show so far. And we need to realize that these guys are running the planet, and they're doing a really bad job of it, and they're doing a really bad job on purpose. Let me give you another example. It's not just the Amazon. Massive fires are burning all over the world, all over South America, all over South Africa. And you say, why is that happening? Well, Dane Whittington, you know, who does a lot of research on what's going on with geoengineering, says that they've lost control of the methane expulsion in the Arctic, and now it's starting to cause a massive greenhouse effect. And they're burning forests all over the world to put up a layer of smoke to reduce the greenhouse effect from the sun coming in to cool off the temperatures. And they're sacrificing our source of oxygen to do it with the Amazonian rainforests. You're thinking, well, what the heck? That sounds nuts. I didn't say these guys aren't nuts. They're just twisted and nuts. And they really believe they can invert everything God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe in and know the truth on this planet. They believe they can destroy everything and be okay. This is the same group of nuts, guys, who back in the 60s decided to detonate hydrogen bombs in the atmosphere, not knowing if it would vent the oxygen off the earth and kill us all, because they want to try to let some pollution escape. And some people still say that's the reason we have holes in our ozone layer. They were blowing up. They didn't know if they were going to destroy the planet, but they decided to do it, just give it a try. Well, let's just see if this works. Maybe it won't kill us all. Same thing with CERN. The first day they cranked up CERN over in Geneva, man, there were earthquakes all over the planet. Little mini black holes are being created by this thing. They're like, well, what the heck? Why would they do that? Because they're not looking for a God particle. They're trying to open a portal up into another dimension to allow entities to come in to this world, the things that they worship. Oh, yeah, that's what they're doing at CERN. That's why they have the goddess Shiva sitting out front of CERN. That's why they had a mock, we think it was a mock, human sacrificial ritual out in front of CERN. This is why over in Switzerland, when they opened up that tunnel in Italy, they had a giant Baal worship, Moloch worship service that was all druidic in nature, and it was posted online all over national TV, all over the world. You're thinking, what the heck are these guys involved in? I tell you what they're involved in. I tell you what they're involved in already. The first 20 minutes of the show, I told you they're involved in. Austin talked about it with the cannibalism. This is what they do. And when their people like Jeffrey Epstein get busted, they have to be given new identities and relocated, because they can't kill them for a fellow Mossad CIA agent. I don't believe for one second that guy's dead. You say, well, right. They also told you that Anna Nicole married for love. Anna Nicole married for love, all right? They also told you that you know, Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. And they also told you that artificial sweeteners were safe. How about that? That's the same group of these morons that have told you all of these things that they wanted us to believe, and many people did, are telling us that Jeffrey Epstein's really dead. Whatever. They also told us that Osama bin Laden got killed over there in Pakistan. What a crock that was. He'd been dead for years with kidney failure. Everybody knows that. But they didn't even let us do a DNA test when they had a burial at sea. Whatever. They also told us that we had a magic bullet with John F. Kennedy that turned around and went the other direction. Whatever. There were multiple shooters involved in that. And we all know that. They also tell us that Building 7 just fell down because of collateral damage. No, it didn't. These are the same guys that are telling you all this stuff is okay. It's not okay. And these are the same guys, those are the same guys, that are literally burning the forests of the world to try to fix what they've done by infusing the atmosphere with neural dust. We talked about this yesterday, and infusing the atmosphere with aluminum and barium. I mean, the rainwater is so contaminated you can't even drink it anymore because of aluminum and barium. I've done it. I've tested it. But guys, these are the same guys that are telling us what we're supposed to believe on mainstream media, and when we don't believe it, they tell us that we're conspiracy theorists, which came right after John F. Kennedy was killed, when nobody believed the Warren Report. Back when John F. Kennedy was killed, Austin, we were still awake in this country. We'd have had enough. We had just gone through World War II. I mean, 20 years earlier, we were in World War II. And all of a sudden, the same guys that fought in World War II were, you know, they were 30, 40, 50 years old. They were going, you know, 60 years old. They were going, wait a minute, this ain't right. Something's wrong here. So they came out of the media, Huntley Brinkley and, you know, and Walter Cronkite. They said, ho, 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 these are conspiracy theorists. Chuckle, chuckle, chuckle. They don't believe the Warren Report. And they
coined that term in the 60s because of the Warren Report, because the mainstream media had done such a poor job in making people believe that John F. Kennedy had really been shot with a magic bullet. Oh, unbelievable. And this is the same group, guys, that slings the dope out of Afghanistan, the $1.5 trillion worth of heroin going all over the world every single year, making it the third largest commodity in the world between after oil and natural gas, is heroin. The same group that runs the planet through their extensive organized crime networks. Oh, yeah, that's the same group that works for Shadel Adelson and all the other guys, all the mafia people, isn't it? Oh, gosh, I forgot. He was a good friend of Donald Trump's. Oops, I shouldn't have gone there, should I? Oh, yeah, hey, all that weird stuff. What do you think, Austin?
Oh, I know. And I saw another article earlier going back to something with the aspect of the Epstein thing. I thought this was really interesting now. They're now saying that all of the surveillance footage outside of his cell and any areas basically surrounding the area is now deemed unusable. For some mysterious reason, I kid you not, you can't even make this up. They said it's not immediately clear why video footage outside of his cell is too flawed for investigators to use, or what is visible in the actual usable footage. But they said the cameras in the hallway outside Epstein's cell had footage that is unusable, despite other clear footage which was captured in the area, allegedly. So now you have the guards that were supposed to be checking on him every 30 minutes. They allegedly fell asleep for 3 hours in prison, which I've known guys that have worked in prison. I've known guys that have been security guards. You can't fall asleep for 3 hours in a security environment like that. You're always waking up because there's so much stuff going on all the time. You have to constantly watch your back and make sure something isn't going on. But maybe taking a nap, dozing off for 20, 30 minutes, yeah, you get a little power nap in, you close your eyes for a few minutes, but dozing off for 3 hours and sleeping so comatosely that you don't even hear anything that happens, like a guy struggling and yelling and choking in his cell while he hangs himself, yeah, okay, that makes a whole lot of sense. Also, too, now why the guards are refusing to cooperate. Also now, too, why nobody apparently is wanting to talk about what's going on over there. Now the investigators are saying they're now going to look into co-conspirators into the entire aspect, which basically means nothing. They're going to let this thing go. They're going to do a little bit more of investigation. They may end up bringing one low-level individual to sacrifice into the mainstream media, saying, we've got this guy now. He was involved with one time with one incident in Europe when 25 years ago with Epstein, when he may have gotten himself an underage girl. We're going to prosecute him now. And they'll prosecute him. They'll throw him on mainstream media. They'll sacrifice him to the media. And they'll say, oh, we've done justice now. Everybody's held accountable. You know, he was a co-conspirator. We've done this now. In the meantime, in my opinion, and Dad's as well, Epstein's not dead. The entire aspect is entirely too weird. Here's the thing. If they were going in there and all they needed was Epstein to be dead, or they need to have a heart attack, they could have simply had the guards go around another direction, disable the camera for about 60 seconds, gone into Epstein's room with two or three other guards, held him down, injected him with basically the alleged heart attack serum that they have, which makes you go into cardiac arrest, walked out of the cell, left, and been gone in and out in under 60 to 90 seconds flat. He would have gone to a massive cardiac arrest. He would have died. They would have gone back and done a coroner's report, said he died. He was 60-something years old. He had a heart attack. That was it. It's over with now. That's all they had to do. That'd been it. They wouldn't need the guards to be allegedly asleep for 3 hours and all the video footage outside of his cell to be unusable for hours on end, and also to have his individual bunkmate moved out right before, like a couple days before the incident happened. Now, why would you need to do that? No, because they had to get a whole prep team in there. They had to not only exfil Epstein out, they had to get another body in there. They had to stage the scene. They had to make sure that basically the time of death was very close in line, so the individual either may have died in the cell or right before. They had to get him strung up and hung. They had to get everything perfect, make sure it's wiped down, and then leave out of the prison and make sure they exfil Epstein out, and then make sure the guards can come back in and cover the story. That's a lot harder of something to pull off than it is going in there and injecting somebody with a shot and walking out and having them go into cardiac arrest. You wouldn't need the guards to be out of hock for 3 hours. You wouldn't need all the video footage stage to be completely unusable for hours on end. You would just need a glimpse, a lapse in the photo, in the video. That's all you'd have to do. It wouldn't be that difficult at all. So this is something that everybody has to look at and realize that there's so many other things going on behind the scenes. Also, too, in other news, this is something I want to talk about that I thought was ironic. San Francisco, you know how they've gone and they've banned plastic straws, they've banned this, they've banned that. Well, now San Francisco is banning all bottled water at airports. People go, okay, they're trying to cut down on their plasticizers, their bottled water. Yeah, that would be great if they actually banned bottled products as well. No, no, no. They're banning only bottled water in San Francisco airports, but yet they're allowing sweet tea, soda, all types of other drinks to be sold in bottles, but not bottled water. They're now encouraging people when they go to the airport to buy reusable bottled bottles, like big plastic hard bottles, and then go to the many of over 100 refill stations that they basically have recycled sewage water is what it is. They take sewage water, they clean it, and then they process it and make it public municipal water supply. Many cities do this. And so now they're saying, this is what you need to drink. You need to drink our recycled sewage water at many of our stations in San Francisco. You're not allowed to be able to buy bottled water anymore, but you can buy your Coca-Cola products, your Pepsi products, your Powerade, your sweet teas, all the high fructose corn syrup laden products. You're perfectly able to buy those, but you just can't buy bottled water anymore. And what's ironic about this is research that was done at the University of Vermont. Nationwide, they did research and found that areas that banned plastic water bottles and replaced them with reusable waters and water fountains actually drove up consumption of plastic bottles, but instead of water, students were grabbing sodas, juices, and other beverages. They did this at the university. So again, we see that the lunacy knows no bounds, and again, it's always to promote their agenda. I can almost guarantee you 100% San Francisco's water supply is fluoridated, and on top of that, they're never, and mark my words, they are never going to be able to ban high fructose corn syrup sodas. Why? Because the globalists and the bankers are never going to allow those unbelievably toxic compounds to be banned from the public. They want people on high fructose corn syrup. They know it's directly linked to stage 2 diabetes. They know it's linked to non-alcohol fatty liver disease. They know it causes all types of health problems with the GMOs. They're never going to ban it. So what do? They ban plastic water bottles, tell you you can use the municipal fluoridated water supply, and still allow you to buy the sodas. This is how stupid it has gotten on the left with their ability to actually rationalize true, real behavior and just push their agenda now, Dad.
You know, Austin, this whole thing with this banning of stuff, they don't really ban the bad stuff, like you said, fluoride. They don't want to do that. They don't want to take the hydrogenated oils out of the food. The other day I was at the grocery store the other day, and there were some cookies, and I like cookies, and they were at the counter, and I thought, I'll try one of these cookies. And one of the first ingredients was shortening hydrogenated oils, trans fats. And I looked at the lady at the counter and I said, do these people not know that this causes heart disease, diabetes, and cancer? And she goes, well, yeah, they probably do. They don't care. And I said, does anybody actually buy these things? She goes, oh, yeah, they buy them all the time. And I thought to myself, you know, we have to get a bigger reach on our audience, Austin. We've got to start talking to people about this, because I don't know how to be any more direct with hydrogenated oils and trans fats than I've been in the past, because they're so bad. There's a few things you've got to look at and you've got to make a decision on. One of them is hydrogenated oils or margarine or trans fats or any of these things that contain these chemicals that cause all of these problems. And the second thing is high fructose corn syrup with fatty liver. There's certain things that you have to get out of as far as your habits if you want to change everything, guys. You've got to change your health this way. You really, really, really have to change your health. Oh, by the way, I thought I'd mention this about – this has changed topic for a second. You know, Germany is now having massive protests, right? You think, well, wow, man, they're waking up. They're having massive protests, and they're actually doing things, and they're protesting in Germany because of what the Okay, yeah, yeah. Germany has been brainwashed, the vast majority of the population, as has the United States. Germany against racism and discrimination against the new migrants. I guess when you have to protest if somebody says maybe you shouldn't rape our women, maybe you shouldn't have gang raping barbarian hordes. But no, they're saying to support the migrants that are coming in who are raping their daughters and their wives. I told you yesterday, the nurse basically was in a subway station. This Muslim guy walks up to her and says, "I want to have sex with you. You're not covered." And she says, "Well, I really don't want to have sex with you." So they beat her and kicked her in the face because she didn't submit. Okay, so they're protesting now for these guys to be accepted. Thousands of people attempted to protest against racism and discrimination in the German city of Dresden. Isn't this the same city that was bombed in the rubble and up to 500,000 died in one night back in the February of 1945? Yeah, I think so. A week ahead of the two state elections in the country's east, in which the far right alternative for Germany's party is expected to make gains. In other words, the people who don't want to have the gang raping barbarian hordes coming in and raping their wives and sisters and mothers, yeah, they're protesting against those guys. Saturday's indivisible demonstration in Dresden, the capital of Saxony, one of the states that holds elections on September the 1st, follows a protest under the same title in Berlin in October. Organizers said the Berlin protest drew more than 250,000 people. News agency reported that up to 20,000 people gathered for the beginning of Saturday's protest, and organizers later said it was at least 35,000. Right. Those who showed up included Vice Chancellor Olaf Scholz, a leading figure in Germany's center-left social democrats, who said there is a great willingness to show that we must do something now and stand up for our democracy and accept all the gang-raping barbarians. Yeah, that's, I added that. Saxony has for years been a stronghold for alternative for Germany and the anti-immigration group. Guys, what the heck? Okay, you know, here's the problem. Here's the problem these guys have. They haven't had their wives raped. Yeah, how about that? They haven't had their daughters raped. Yeah, that too. That's right. They haven't had their children assaulted with knives and threatened to be beheaded in the schools yet. Yeah, that problem too. Yeah, that's what happens when this happens and you start having your entire group of people basically accept these alternative cultures and what these alternative cultures believe in. Guys, there's a point. This has got to stop. Austin, I love you, buddy. Go ahead and close it up. I'm sorry I went long. I was running my mouth. I appreciate you guys. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Thank you guys again for the support. Be sure if you need anything, give us a call or email us at healthmasters.com. And stay sharp out there. Stay prepared. Stay ready. Always stay ready. You guys have an awesome, safe, blessed night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.